Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by David Smith.
Hello.
The executive director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action, Ralph Rivera, a pro-life lobbyist in Springfield with Illinois Right to Life Action, and a lobbyist for the Illinois Family Institute joins
us. Back with us again.
We kind of talked about House Bill 40 last time and some other issues, but we've got a big election coming up, the March primary.
Right.
Dave, we need some changes in Springfield, and what happens in March could be very important.
Well, this is an off-year election. It is not a presidential election. Therefore, it is usually, typically, the turnout is much lower than it is for a presidential election. But that doesn't mean it's less important, because we've got gubernatorial candidates, we've got attorney general, we've got all the constitutional offices, we've got all the state lawmakers in the House up for election, and about a third of them for the Senate in the General Assembly. And so it is vital that pro-life, pro-family voters in Illinois come out and vote. Vote early. You cannot say vote often. I know we're Christians here. We can't cheat. But we can pray.
Even in Chicago.
Yeah, we can't cheat, but we can pray. We can pray. So we can appeal to a higher authority for the result of these elections. And with Ralph here, he knows, he's lobbying in Springfield. He is constantly counting the votes in the House, in the Senate, on where the bills may, if any particular bill gets enough votes, 60 votes in the House, 30 votes in the Senate usually. And we need more pro-lifers in the House, especially in the House. We need them both places, don't get me wrong.
That's right.
But in the House is where we have the best chance of stopping bad legislation, anti-life legislation. How many votes do we need, Ralph?
We need three votes if you take in mind
three additional pro-lifers.
That's right.
Right. So three, kick out three of the bad guys and put in three new good guys gals.
And we stop the bad legislation.
Right.
That's what it amounts to.
So House Bill 40 could have been stopped dead in its tracks if we had three more votes.
That's correct.
Of course, we would love to have a more of a cushion than that, right?
Sure, but you have to have at least a three. And the reason I say that, and you say, well, why don't you want more, is because we have a battle here where there are 12 Republican seats that are up.
12 Republican seats.
And all of those seats are pro-life.
And, they're up because they're retiring or they're—
retiring or seeking other office.
Okay.
And so we have to see that those 12—
Remain pro-life,
and
Yeah. We
have to, and there's one Democratic seat who, there was a pro-lifer
right.
Democrat, and we have to see that seat.
So 13
seats replaced with pro-life people. That just brings us back to where we were.
You know, it's funny you say that. I remember eight years ago, we had many more pro-life Democrats in the General Assembly.
That's right.
But they have dwindled quite quickly. So we've lost another one with Senator Dan Beiser retiring, and now we need to replace that
Representative
seat.
Dan.
I'm sorry, Representative, thank you.
Right.
We need to put in a pro-lifer in that seat. That's downstate, what is it, Alton, Illinois area?
Yeah, it's in the downstate area
Okay. Around
there. So we have to do all of those, plus work on getting one, two, three, the goal.
Which would make our life easier, is trying to stop these things. Maybe they won't even consider introducing bad legislation if they knew they didn't have the numbers to pass their bills.
That actually happened about less than 10 years ago.
Okay.
We picked up like five seats.
Okay.
And they had been putting in bad legislation.
Sure.
Those 2 years, the 2 years
crickets
after that, that's right. They didn't even try.
Good. Well, see, that's a goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a worthy goal.
Yeah. So
when you say work on, what does that mean? That means you have to actually go out and vote. But
right.
What else does that mean?
Well, it means you have to help that candidate, whether that's get the word out to our people.
Right.
That's called by mailing to them.
Sure.
We may do robocalls. A lot of people don't like that, but it's a good informational.
That's right.
And it's very cheap for us. You know, I wish everybody would give us their email so that we could right. do that. But if you don't, we got to find you and let you know what's going on another way. We have to get some boots on the ground. We have to have people work precincts for those people. We also have to get the word out that this person's pro-life and you should be voting for this person if we want to win in
now,
Springfield.
There's great ways that listeners can educate themselves about where the candidates stand on these issues. Illinois Family Institute does a voter guide every election cycle. Illinois Right to Life, are you guys going to do a voter guide? It
yes.
used to be Illinois Citizens for Life that
right.
did it.
Illinois Right to Life Action
will
have
do a
its,
voter, guide.
Voter guide.
And it'll be strictly pro-life. Is it's going to be the 1 to 5
1 to 4. But we do a rating system where we tell people based on their voting record, based on surveys, and we just kind of make it easier as we have done for decades. 1 means you're pro-life, 4 means you're never with us, 3 means you're sometimes with us, and 2 means most of the time with us. So it gives people a little bit of information, and you can put it all, and that we can do, we do the whole state for federal and state, and we do the state senate, state reps, and there are 13 county races, and we do judicial races.
That's good. That's important.
We do a lot of these. So.
I'm sorry. How can people get a copy of that?
You know, we're working on the website because we, I don't know if people know, but we had two groups that
merged,
and now we're setting up a special one. So that's in the process, so we'll have that once the voter guides are available.
And we'll try to put it in the notes of this podcast. Once you find out, let us know, and we'll publicize it because it's so important that voters understand the mindset of the candidates running. Even you mentioned county board races, right? So we don't want to elect pro-abortion candidates or by admission, omission, I should say, or by ignorance, because these people may run for higher office later on, right?
Exactly.
Oh,
so
at least 25. Well, I'm guessing here, but 25% of legislators now in Springfield came out of the county board.
Right, the farm teams, right? So am I wrong to say that their position on the issue of life kind of gives you an indicator of their character and their political ideology?
Yes, it does.
So, I mean, this is a great beginning. Now, IFI's voter guide has a wider range. We include tax issues. We include homosexual, LGBT issues. We include marijuana and gambling, all these issues in our voter guide. So we dive down a little bit further. We don't go down to the county board, which I'd love to do someday, maybe. But it's important for voters to look at both of them to get an idea of where this candidate stands on the issues. So now, I don't want to dismiss the importance of getting, let's say, 4-5 new pro-lifers down in Springfield to add to our numbers. But at the top of the ticket,
yep.
we have a governor who willingly signed, a Republican governor, let me put it that way too, a Republican governor who willingly put his name to the bill, to a number of anti-life bills, including House Bill 40, taxpayer funding of abortion, when he didn't have to. Illinois law, once a bill is passed in the House and the Senate, if it isn't vetoed by the governor in 60 days, it automatically becomes law. Governor Runner chose to put his name to those bills. In other words, endorse those pieces of legislation.
Right.
And if we had a pro-life Republican governor, he or she would have vetoed that, right?
That's correct.
And it could have stopped the whole process. We have the opportunity this March to elect such a candidate in State Representative Jeannie Ives. Your experience, Ralph, working with Jeannie, how is she on our issues?
She's great. She has sponsored legislation or co-sponsored legislation. She speaks on the floor
right.
in defense of life, defense of the family. She is outspoken to the point where those who oppose her views just kind of cringe when they see her getting up.
I've heard it. I've been in the General Assembly, in the balcony, when she gets up to speak. I've heard the Democrats groan audibly. They, here it comes again.
That's right.
Well, that's right. They don't want to hear the truth, do they?
No, she is so strong. And I talked with her after once where she got up. I said, Jeannie, I just thought, you know, you stood there almost alone.
Yeah. And she does often. And the thing that I want to point out to listeners is she's a fighter.
Yes.
She not only just gets up and says, I'm against this bill, but she will articulate a persuasive case against it. Now, of course, many leftists in the General Assembly don't want to be persuaded by facts.
Right.
They're only down there to vote on party line or emotions. If it feels good, let's do it. But Jeannie has been a fighter. She's been down there for 5 years, and there's a number of reasons why she decided to challenge Governor Runner. One of them happens to be House Bill 40, taxpayer funding of abortion, the Sanctuary State Bill, Senate Bill 31, as well as a number of other pieces of legislation where Governor Runner just simply caved in to Michael Madigan, who got his agenda through no matter what.
Well, he caved it in, maybe not just to Mike Madigan, but to the pro-abortion agenda. Think about that. He sided with Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
And he didn't have to. Let me ask you, do you feel betrayed by the governor? A lot of pro-life voters, myself included, feel betrayed by Governor Rauner. Well, what's that going to do come March primary day?
Well, I don't feel betrayed because I was down there. What he betrayed, 23 Republican legislators who were committed, met with him. He committed to them he would veto the bill.
That's right. That's a very good point.
Shook their hands. So he didn't shake my hand.
Right.
He didn't tell Ralph, I'm going to do this. He did that.
Fellow Republicans, he said, I'm going to veto this thing. And he did that in April.
Right.
And then he turned around and signed it over the summer
into law. That's right.
Caved in to the left's pressure.
Got his budget passed, and then he caves in to the left.
Uh-huh. And you know, the other thing, though, what Monty brings up, I think is a good point, because when he campaigned in his first go-round, he said he had no social agenda. And yet that seems to be much of what he can claim success to. Is a lot of social agenda was passed with his signature on it.
Right.
So, let's run through it real quick. You know, Senate Bill 1564, which mandates that pro-life workers have to refer for abortion. House Bill 217, which bans professional therapists from helping young people with minor children with unwanted, let's stress that, unwanted same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria. House Bill 40, taxpayer funding of abortion. What else did he sign?
Well, the Sanctuary State Bill.
The Sanctuary State Bill.
There was the gender birth certificate bill.
That's the one I'm missing. House Bill 217.
Right.
So, 1785. House Bill 1785.
Right.
So now a person who is gender dysphoric or confused about their gender can get a couple sessions or even one session with a therapist and go and change their historical birth certificate and make it fraudulent. This is just unbelievable.
People have to understand. They say, all right, so he changed the birth. No. What this means is you go to an employer or a school or a church.
That's right.
And say, I have an official document that says I am now.
I'm authorized to use the girls' locker room.
That's right.
Yeah.
So don't take this as, well, they're going to get a birth certificate and put it up on
their
the wall.
Right.
This isn't what it's about. It's not a vanity birth certificate. This is replaces the birth certificate.
It affirms a lie.
Yeah.
It affirms a lie, and then they can use that as a legal document to gain access to places they should not be.
Right. So if you want to refuse, you can go to jail or you can be sued.
Well, you mentioned something. Or a church.
Sure.
They could go to a church,
and
what could conceivably happen?
Well, you can seek employment, or you go to a church and they have a men's room and a women's
room.
Course. Now you're going to go into this battle. So do you want... You know, this is where, this is not, it doesn't harm us. Yes, it does, if you care. If you don't have any moral standings, it's not going to bother you at all.
So let me just point out to the listeners that Jeannie Ives, before she announced that she was running against Bruce Runner, won our award at Illinois Family Institute for the Legislator of the Year, and we call it the Titanium Backbone Award. She won that award because she does have a titanium backbone, and she doesn't back down, and she's willing to fight. And that is so refreshing to have in this state someone who is going to fight back against not only the Democrats and the leftists, but also the media types who like to spin things. So we are a big fan of Jeannie Ives, and Illinois Family Action proudly endorses Jeannie Ives in her run to be the next Republican nominee for governor of Illinois.
Well, she faces an uphill fight because Governor Rauner
has millions.
Bucco billions or millions, and he can run all these nice little TV ads.
Yeah.
Jeannie has to get her name out there.
Right.
So if
she
you've got a
raise
friend,
her name ID. Yep.
If you got a friend or a lot of friends, folks in your church, you need to be talking to them about Jeannie Ives.
Absolutely. But Jeannie is going to get the grassroots, and I hope to God the grassroots doesn't sit back, but they proactively work this campaign. Let me go back to the primary election that Bruce Rauner won with a plurality of votes. He won 40% of the vote, only 40%. Now, Bill Brady, Dan Rutherford, and Kirk Dillard were running as well. Kirk Dillard came very close. He got 37% of the vote, but Rauner got the plurality. So if he only got 40% the first time around, I would suggest because of his liberal agenda and his failure to lead the way he claims to lead, he's going to get less than 40% this time around. At least that's my prayer, okay? I'm optimistic, but I can't see him getting the same amount as he did last time. I'm just hoping and praying that Jeannie is able to gain traction in name ID, as you pointed out, Monty.
All right. We need to take a time out, and we will continue our conversation with Ralph Rivera after this.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarrus, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
Thanks again for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Lurick here, joined by Dave Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. And our guest is Ralph Rivera, a lobbyist in Springfield with Illinois Right to Life Action. He's also a lobbyist for Illinois Family Institute. We've been talking about the impact of House Bill 40 and what that means in terms of the March primary. And Ralph, let me ask you this. How big a factor will the governor's signing of House Bill 40 be in the primary election? Will that drive pro-life voters to the polls?
Great question.
To vote for Jeannie Ives or against Governor Rauner?
I think so. I think that, you know, I can give you a number, but it absolutely will, because the word I've heard from people, from just talking to people around the state.
Anecdotally, yep.
Yeah. They are just so upset. And these are also leaders or you know, elected officials and political people, party people within his party.
Right.
And they're very upset. They're not going to endorse. Some of them are staying out of it. They're saying, well, I'm not. But they're not endorsing Rauner,
which would
have been a no-brainer. That's not there.
Well, similar to you, Ralph, I've talked to many people, even some of my Tea Party friends who you know, fiscal issues are their number one issue, but they're not necessarily opposed to social conservatism. They are also, because of the sanctuary state, very upset with Governor Rauner. But this, House Bill 40, paying for it, they don't want to pay for abortions.
Right.
They don't want their tax dollars going for abortion. And so that has further alienated them from Governor Rauner. And now they're absolutely opposed to his candidacy, which is good news. So, you know, it's kind of funny. When Governor Rauner ran first, he helped divide the Republican Party. He divided them, you know, because he was a social liberal, but a supposedly a fiscal conservative.
Right.
But now he has united the Republican Party. Both fiscal and social conservatives are opposed to him now. So in a way, we might want to say, thank you, Governor Runner.
But let's say Governor Runner does win the March primary. Will pro-life, pro-family conservatives sit out the election?
Well, I can see a lot of them doing so. I certainly would not support him.
I would not either. I would undervote. I would not vote for that spot, or I would write in someone else.
Is there anything the governor could do to placate pro-life, pro-family conservatives?
No. He has closed that door with the signing. You can't undo the signing. You can't undo the death warrants for tens of thousands of babies. I mean, what are you going to say?
Absolutely.
I'll do better next time?
But the thing that I would point to, Monty, is the fact that he lied. Right. First, he said, I had no social agenda. Then he told a bunch of Republicans, I'm going to veto that bill. And then he went back on. So how could he say anything that we could believe?
Right.
He can't. He's been proven to be a liar. He cannot be trusted.
Well, that leaves us in a position of, let's say, Jeanne Ives wins. Can she beat the Democratic nominee?
Who looks like to be J.B. Pritzker with all his millions of dollars as well.
Maybe.
He looks like the front runner at this point of our recording.
But, you know, he has ties to Mike Madigan.
And Berrios,
Mr. Berrios, the guy that handles the taxes in Cook County.
That's right.
So,
well, let me tell that I've talked with some political people and who work this. You know, they are, I mean, we're kind of in the political realm. Of course we are. But these guys who analyze and poll and do all this, and they've said Rauner is a dead man walking. That means he loses in November if he wins the primary. So to say,
there's a reason that the National Review came out and called him the worst Republican governor in Illinois.
In America.
He has attracted national attention, hasn't he?
That's right.
Negative attention.
That's right. I mean, he will not win November. So to say, well, can Jeanne Ives win? He will not win.
Well,
in
on the
November.
Flip side, she's attracted national attention on the positive side as being the underdog challenger to Governor Runner.
Right.
I saw a piece on Fox News Channel just recently highlighting her challenge to Governor Runner.
You know, I like the way she's using social media right now.
Yeah.
Going to barber shops on the South Side, talking issues,
that
people can relate to. And I'm wondering, with all of Bruce Rauner's money, all of J.B. Pritzker's money, if they're just not going to be able to connect with voters.
That's right.
That's the job for Representative Jeanne Ives. She and us,
that's
we
right.
in the grassroots levels, have to get the word out Jeanne Ives is a strong pro-life, pro-family candidate for governor. And that she's the only one, you know. And therefore, they need to vote for her. And if we can get that message out and she can get that message out, it's all about that. It's
That's
about
right.
the people knowing she's running. And
Underdogs
who she is.
Can win. Underdogs can win. In 2010, Bill Brady was running against Pat Quinn. Now, Bill Brady is a state senator from Central Illinois, a Republican, a pro-lifer, and he came within just 1% of Pat Quinn, and he could have won that race if more pro-lifers came out to vote. So I don't think Illinois is that much different in 2018 than it was in 2010. Again, in these off-year elections, non-presidential elections, voter turnout is bad. We need, the pro-life Christian community needs to mobilize and get out the vote, and we could put our candidate over the top if we were involved and engaged.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. Let me add one thing just for me, because I have to switch a hat here.
Okay.
I'm with Illinois Citizens for Life PAC.
Okay.
And so when I'm saying vote for, that's who I'm representing when I say vote for, because when I'm just lobbying, I'm lobbying. But
understand.
It's clear.
Right. We got to jump through these hoops because all these 501c3, C4 PACs, oh my goodness, I tell you.
Right.
But before you vote and before you get out there and try to campaign or do something for a candidate, you need to find out where they stand on the issues that concern us. And and information is available out there for us.
That's right. And also, I would also encourage listeners, Ralph, his group, his pro-life group, has a PAC, and what is it called?
Illinois Citizens for Life PAC.
So if you want to donate money for pro-life citizens, I would encourage you to look up Illinois Citizens for Life PAC, that's PAC, that stands for Political Action Committee, or you can look up Illinois Family Action PAC, also a PAC that is designed to help pro-life, pro-family candidates get elected. And, of course, we could always use the money to be able to help our candidates that we're endorsing.
That's correct.
And check out our voter guides.
And voter guides, very important, absolutely.
Ralph, you know, along with the candidates that will be on the primary ballot, the governor's race and, you know, the
congressional and legislative.
The down-ballot candidates. Cook County voters will be deciding on the legalization of recreational marijuana.
Now, it's a non-binding vote, but it's an official poll, if you will, of Cook County voters, which will send a message to our state lawmakers on the popularity of this idea, right?
That's absolutely right. In fact, they'll know precinct by precinct who voted.
The percentages.
How those precincts voted, yes.
So this is very dangerous, and we need to mobilize the churches and Christians in Cook County to make sure that everyone knows we got to vote no to the legalization or the of recreational marijuana. And now we're going to assume we're going to lose the popular vote. However, we cannot lose by big margins. We need to make this close so that it's dubious to the lawmakers in Springfield saying, I don't know, it wasn't all that popular in Cook County. And let's talk a little bit real quick about why. What's the main concerns that you have, Ralph, with the legalization of marijuana? What would it do to our society?
Well, I think it's so detrimental to the young people. You
yes.
know, we often talk, and I hear in Springfield, about how you know, the minors, they can be influenced by advertising and this and that. You know, they stopped cigarette ads because they thought
That's
they
right.
would influence minors. They stopped, you know, drug things to say no to drugs.
Just say no.
So what do you tell a minor when you legalize it in this state? You're
See, that's
saying,
one
well,
of my
can't
biggest,
be too bad.
Exactly.
You know?
That's one of my biggest complaints, Ralph, is, you know, when we passed medical marijuana
right.
in Illinois, in 2013, we're sending a message to young people and to the society as a whole. Hey, man, marijuana is just like medicine. You know, if you got a headache, smoke a doobie. If you got some joint pain, you know, take a smoke. Now we're on the verge of saying, hey, man, this is a great way to relax and unwind. Just smoke a joint or a bong or whatever it is.
Right.
This is the wrong message to be sending to society. It was Monty. Monty, you said a while back is the last thing we need is more buzzed drivers on the roads,
right.
more buzzed people in the workplace, more buzzed people in our schools. I mean, really? Who really thinks that more intoxicated people in our society is a good thing?
That's exactly it. And the studies from states that have recreational marijuana,
right.
we say recreational because we've got medical marijuana,
right.
so we have to distinguish it. if we never had medical marijuana, we'd just say legalized marijuana,
right,
period.
Right.
But in other states, the studies show there's an increase in marijuana use by minors.
That's right.
There's an increase in young people
That's right.
who are over as minors, 19, 20, and so forth. There's an increase in driving
highway accidents. And driving under the influence.
But,
yep.
you know, I was at a hearing that they had, and I'm amazed. Just a little earlier, a podcast, I said they thought that making free abortions under Medicaid, the Senate sponsor said, oh, there'll be no cost.
Right, right.
Well, I heard people say that with recreational marijuana in other states, there's no additional crime. Crime's
Bloody
gone down.
Sausage.
And driving's wonderful. Everything's wonderful. I couldn't believe what they were saying. It's all wonderful. How do you figure
well, you
that?
You just have to look at Colorado, who's had it now for 4 years, legalized, and we see the numbers of emergency room visits for marijuana overdoses
yeah.
just skyrocketing. So, yeah, I mean, there's a strain on first responders. There's a strain on our emergency response teams. There's going to be a strain on a lot of things that we're not factoring in. Many lawmakers are looking at the bottom line. How much can we tax it, and how much can we receive in revenues from it? That's what they're looking
That's
at.
That's all it is. There was a legislator from Colorado came to the last hearing. They had a joint hearing, Senate and
a
House.
Joint hearing.
A joint yes, hearing.
Yes. no pun. And he said, and they said, how is it down? Oh, it's good.
Yeah, I'm sure surprised. It is.
And then he said, I think people get it when we're teaching. When he said it's all good, we can get revenue money as long as it's not coming out of their pocket for taxes. And then he said, and as long as we're teaching children or young people that your brain is not developed and it can be harmed by marijuana. So how is it good? But he's saying, but we also have a program to teach young people that you have a developing brain.
That's right.
And it can be affected by marijuana.
That's right.
So this is good?
This is not good.
As long as we're telling them that, then it's okay to make it legal.
As Christians, we're told in Scripture clearly to be sober-minded. Repeatedly throughout Scripture, be not intoxicated, be sober-minded. And to that point, I want to emphasize that unlike alcohol, and you can have a glass of wine with dinner, you can have a beer after work, and not be intoxicated, right? You cannot sit down and have a joint or even share a joint with someone and not get stoned, okay? I mean, I don't have experience with this, guys, but I've asked people who have smoked marijuana recently and in the 70s, and in both cases where, you know, the 70s stuff was much more weak
yes.
compared to today,
yes. right.
They affirmed the fact that, no, just a couple puffs of a marijuana joint will get you high. And so what are we doing? You know, what are we doing to our society? It's not like, you know, there's degrees here. You know, you get intoxicated. And we don't need those people on our roads, in our workplaces, and in our schools, like Monty said.
Well, the proponents of this are saying, well, this is only going to be for people 21 and older. It's going to be strictly regulated, and as Dave alluded, we're going to raise millions of dollars that won't come out of taxpayers' pockets.
Yeah.
How do you counter that?
Well, it's first of all, once you legalize it, the young people will say, what's wrong with it? And they'll get it. Mm-hmm. And then you will have,
that's right.
You know, the millions of dollars that you'll get from this will be taken up from law enforcement and treatment, and the deaths on the highway and
That's
the
right.
injuries on the highway. And
well, there's a reason why they call it dope. Now, let me just say this. If you're listening to this, if you're a pastor or if you have a good relationship with your pastor, please talk to them about this. This needs to be talked to about even briefly in the announcement section of a Sunday morning service to let people know that this is going to be on the ballot and that you should come out and vote. Make sure you vote all the way down the ballot, hit that question, and vote no to whether or not recreational marijuana should be legalized in Illinois.
Ralph, people need to be in contact with their lawmakers,
yes.
even Republican lawmakers.
Right.
Who might be pro-life.
Well, that's a good point. Actually, there's a guy named Jason Berrickman, state senator from the Pontiac area of Illinois. His district includes Normal, Illinois, Pontiac, and Dwight, Illinois, who has come out. He's a Republican state senator who has already come out and said, I am in favor of recreational marijuana. He's also the same guy who voted for gay marriage back in 2013. And word is he's also leaning towards ERA to right. affirm that. Mm-hmm. And so he's gone really soft on us. So if you live in his district, he needs to hear from you specifically. State Senator Jason Berrickman needs to be encouraged to do what is right and not listen to the liberals from the college campus at Bloomington Normal.
But, Ralph, people need to be talking to their lawmakers about this, right?
They do. You know, Senator Berkman, we had word from him that when he announced he was for legalizing recreational marijuana, he got hit with a lot of calls from his district spontaneously.
Good.
So It works. And I don't know what the end result of that is, but you do that enough and you get your legislator.
Well, he hasn't had a challenge in the last couple of elections, including the one that's coming up. He has nobody filed against him as a Republican,
right,
and nobody has filed for that district yet as a Democrat. Of course, the Democrats can slate someone,
right,
but he's gotten a pass. And that's the last thing. We need to hold his feet to the fire or replace him. I mean, that's the whole idea of elections, why we do them every 2 years, every 4 years for a state senator. They need to be held accountable by the voters for their votes. And this is a very important issue, as well as the other things that we talked about. He needs to be held accountable, as well as all the others.
Well, we need to wind things down. But, Ralph, how can folks connect with you?
Well, they can go to the website at IllinoisRightToLife.org. Find out what's, you know, all of the information that's going on there, and they can learn. And
subscribe to your emails.
That's correct.
Okay, good.
Dave, and our website is?
IFIAction.org. And if you're listening on iTunes, please write us a review and give us good ratings, and let your friends know about this wonderful podcast devoted to Illinois conservatives.
Thanks so much, and thank you folks for tuning in. Tell a friend, and special thanks to Ralph Rivera with Illinois Right to Life Action for being here with us. And until next time, God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.